He loves you. To share it. Yes. God knows when you have a sharing heart, he's more willing to give to you more than you need, because knowing that you are going to take that excess and go, how can I bless someone else with this? And God, help me see the next person that needs something that I can provide in a loving, relational way. That's just plain fun right there, that is. You did. That's great stuff. So the prove it. We're proving God. Give to him first and watch him support your life in a variety of ways. It won't always be financial, will it? It will be in various ways. Every one of you have experienced that truth. So far in this series, we've learned four principles of giving to God. We've learned three vital truths about expressing our gratitude to God through giving. And those are already in your sermon outline. I'm not going to cover those again, but you can review them when you go home today. Don't do it right now during the sermon. Thank you. But do this. In your bulletin is a yellow-colored form, response form. Take that out. Let's look at that together. So on the form, we've been talking about budgeting in the last couple of weeks. And the reason for budgeting is because when you budget, you're planning. You're giving, you're spending, and you're saving. You're planning it. Now, when I was a young man, back in my early 20s, before Kayla and I got married, before she came and rescued me from my sinful ways of spending money. Not sinful, but just, you know. For example, when I worked on the ranch, I made $500 a month. And I had about $5 left over every month after my expenses. Then I got a job as a mechanic and truck driver for City Garbage Service out of La Grande, and I got $700 more a month. I got $1,200 more a month. You know how much money I had left at the end of every month? $5. That wasn't good. And so... I didn't have, you know, if it was in my pocket, it was meant for spending. And so I wasted a lot of money. Then Kayla come along, and she said, we're not living like that anymore. And so Kayla is our, out of the two of us, she's our numbers cruncher. She loves numbers and loves to put numbers together and make things work. And so we've been talking through this series, Kayla and I have been talking about budgets. And refining how we spend and save and give. And so that's a good thing. So anyway, we've been talking about budgeting. And think that it's a good idea that budgeting, in whatever form you budget, that allows you to spend, save, and give with thoughtfulness, pre-planning. That's just a great stewardship principle. Remember we said that a steward is one who manages the resources of the owner to accomplish the goals of the owner? That's who we are in Christ. We are God's stewards. He gives us resources. We manage them for his purpose here on earth. And so in that yellow form, if you would just take a quick look at that. And it says, I think the first line is, I live on a budget. Is that right? And the second line says, help me out here. I give a set amount. Okay, so I've already pre-planned how much I'm going to give. The third line? Okay, I would like help in determining a God-honoring amount to give to him. If you aren't planning how you give, you're giving sporadically. Okay, sometimes people give what's ever in their pocket on Sunday morning. Okay, well, that's nice. But it's not thought through. God thought through giving Jesus to us. We need to think through giving back to him. And so if you'd like help on planning that out, what does it look like even to do a budget? Sometimes we're so unaware of what a budget looks like, I don't know how to put it together, okay? I'm available to help you do that. And it's really simple stuff. It's not complicated, okay? So easy stuff. The last one is about a class, I think. If you're interested in a budget class, mark that one as well. If you are looking for assistance in putting the budget together or would like a class, sign your name and your phone number to that card and turn it in to me right back here at the Welcome Center right after service today. And we'll move on from there. We just want to help you think about budgeting and planning your giving, your saving, and your spending. Amen? That's good. Well, we've learned that as stewards of God's resources, we are to manage those to advance His purpose on earth. And we've seen that living by a monthly budget helps us do that well. We honor God when we plan ahead on how our money will be used for His glory and His purposes. Now remember, when you're using your money, whether it's paying your bills, which is a God-honoring thing to do, or blessing someone else with an excess that God has given you, all of that is God-honoring. If you say, I'm gonna go into debt to buy this thing, so I've used a credit card, for example, do you make sure that you have enough money to cover that credit card debt before you slide the card? If not, Dave Ramsey says this about you. You're lying. Because you're telling your creditor, the person you're buying things from, I promise to pay this. But I really don't have the money. Uh-oh, now what? What is that? Well, I think that's lying. And so being honest in our financial dealings, be careful with your debit card or your credit card. Make sure you have enough money in there to cover what you're spending. Okay? And that's an honest way of doing business. Back in the days when we didn't have credit cards, we're going clear back to the early 50s. What's the dinner club card? Is that the first one that came out? Diners Club. Thank you, Justin. The Diners Club card was the first one to come out. And when we started using credit cards more and more over these years, these decades, we have stopped being careful about spending. Dave Ramsey also said that when we use a debit card or a credit card, we are not thinking enough about what we're spending. In fact, he said, by using a credit card, you'll tend to spend about 12 to 15% more using a credit card or a debit card than you will if you were paying with cash. Why? Because when you feel the cash leaving your hand, and you go, oh, I don't like the feeling of this cash leaving my hand, leaving my account. Yes, takes care of impulse buying. I have to think about this. I have an emotional attachment to this money, and when I let it go, I'm being more careful. With a credit card, we don't feel that. With a debit card, we don't. So just make sure you have enough to cover your expenses, is what we're saying here. If you want to fill out your yellow card and sign it later, just put it in the Durfee mailbox, which is on the bottom row of the mailboxes over there in the hallway. That'd be great. So for today's message, giving is a team sport. Giving is a team sport. When I was playing football in junior high and high school, our coaches said over and over again, every play can be completely successful if, what? Every man does his job. If he plays with the play and goes and blocks the right guy or runs the right direction, when I was in high school, I played fullback. Me and the tailback were side by side getting ready to receive the ball. And as the quarterback gets the ball, he turns around, and me and the tailback go, we ran right into each other. And he's going, one of you guys should take this. And so that play didn't work very well. We lost yards on that play. A church family is similar in some ways to a sports team. God's plan includes giving every Christian, every one of you, a role to play as how He works in people's lives. If we go to 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 1 Peter, we see spiritual gifts are talked about there. Okay, that's one way that God has empowered you, given you His ability to do something, a role to play on the team in order to fulfill God's purpose on earth. And that's fun stuff to think about. One main responsibility every team member has is to show up to practice and show up to games with an attitude of giving his or her best. And to give his or her best, okay? How many of you stayed up till about 2 this morning? Yeah? Okay. I couldn't sleep last night. I got up about 1:30 and so I'll go do some men's group prep, and I did that for a while and went back to bed, and I did not want to get up this morning. And I can tell you that it's kind of affected my attitude today. I'm just kind of blue. And so coming prepared, having an attitude, I'm ready here to give my best. Not just on Sunday mornings, we're talking daily life, aren't we? Every day you get up, are you prepared to give God your best in your attitude? In the last 2 weeks, we have learned 4 biblical principles, 3 vital truths about expressing our gratitude to God through giving. So let's look at one more important thought as we close this series on giving today. And this thought is this. Though the New Testament does not require us to give 10% of our income to God through our local church, that's the Old Testament. And that's good. We want to hang on to the idea of giving. So even though the New Testament doesn't require 10% of our income to God through the local church, using a percent figure is a great way to plan your giving. Using a percent figure is a great way. And it helps in 3 ways. Number 1, it helps you give consistently according to your income level. So let's go ahead and use 10% as the goal of your giving. Okay, I'm going to give 10% to God. And if you make $5,000 a month, after taxes, bring home, let's say, $4,000 a month, at 10%, how much are you giving to God through your local church? $400. And so you're giving that. See, now, how many of you went, ugh, $400? What does that mean? It may mean that you haven't planned your giving yet and you're feeling it. Oh, that sounds like a lot of money. Okay? It also may mean, because you haven't been planning your giving, you've been using the money that you could be giving to God to buy other things or to pay off debt elsewhere, and that's okay, but it just says, God, I haven't planned myself to give to you. So let's plan on that. Let's use a simple budget tool to plan. So it helps you to consistently give according to your income level. Secondly, using a percent figure helps you easily adjust your giving amount if your income goes up or down. It's easy to figure on a percent level. And thirdly, it helps you gain confidence and peace knowing that you are obeying God's instruction to give back to him. That feels good. You know what? It just feels good. God, I'm giving to you. It's my first and my best to you. Here it is. I love giving that to you. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth here. I didn't start out loving it, but I do today. Why? Why do you think that is? Because I've seen how God supplies and supports. He is honest about his giving to us, to Kayla and I, to support us. I want to also have you look at, in your bulletin outline, how God has changed and touched lives through your giving to ACC last year in 2018. I've made a list there. It's not an inclusive list. You might think of other things to add to this list, but let's just look at them quickly here. Last year, we reached 50-plus kids during VBS. That's impressive. Touched 200-plus kids and adults during Trunk or Treat. Last October, Main Street. It was awesome. And thank you to Beth and Kristen for giving us that idea and making that thing happen. Wow, powerful. That's wonderful stuff. Bingo outreach nights, City Hall. That's given me some opportunity to visit with people who've come, and we're starting to talk about God. Isn't that cool? Ladies' Christmas breakfast reaches 100-plus people. Ladies' retreat, ladies' small groups, men's retreat in small groups, boundary support group. Through scholarships, have helped kids attend Cove Christian Camp and Winter Camp. provided materials for all Sunday school and ABS classes, improved and upgraded our church building. Do you like what the building looks like outside? Man, isn't that wonderful? Gabriel, thank you. Well done. We love how you painted the building. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Yep. You did a great job. Provided needed equipment and worship services and classrooms, supported church and community members with food and clothing. We have gas vouchers. We have free oil changes. Thank you, Al, for that ministry. Special offerings for families in need. We're supporting our community, and your giving does a lot of that. We support our missionaries, Alan Marshall in London, and Steve Bailey and I went there last August. That was a fantastic trip. I'd love to go again. There's so much of London to see, and Al's church is, they are fantastic people. They love the Lord. They've been places where, they've come from countries, you know, a lot of London is a bigger melting pot than we are. And it has lots of different nationalities who live there. And those folks have come from countries that does not allow Christianity. And boy, you ought to see them worship. They know where they've come from. That's awesome stuff. Compassion First, rescuing children from sex trafficking in Indonesia. Atinawa Orphanage in Uganda. Judy's been there twice, I think. Judy, is that right? And what a fantastic ministry that is. Christian Children's Ranch in Boise. David Hamilton, he's our newest missionary, Bible translator with Pioneer Bible Translators. Wow, what an exciting ministry he's launching out on and translating scriptures into people's own language. Oregon Christian Evangelistic Fellowship, we call it OCEF, planting new churches in Oregon. Planted a number of churches in the last 10 years. Fantastic ministry here. Most of the churches that are being planted, obviously, are going to be on the west side where there's population. But they, wonderful churches are planting and growing. Boise Bible College, helping prepare people for ministry, not just young people. I went as a second career guy at 24. Bill Williams went whatever age he was, but he went 3 years and has served Sunrise Christian Church in Ontario, Oregon for the last 10 years. Wow, just fantastic stuff. Cove Christian Camp served 132 kids last year, not to mention family groups, football camps, other groups that came and used the camp as well. And this doesn't even include your personal giving to other things. When you look at this list, what do you see? Little conversation here. Nice variety. Okay? We're touching a lot of people's lives in different areas. A working church. We're here to invest in not only in each other, but in our community. Yeah, what else? Joining God where He's at work. Fantastic. Yeah. So these are all great things. Yeah, Gabriel? Outreach. Intentional outreach. You know, sometimes we meet people and we have a conversation that turned into a good conversation, but it really wasn't intentional. But intentional outreach, doing things to meet people face to face.
I could never do this by myself.
Yes, amen. Couldn't do it by yourself. That's right. Good stuff. Paul? Yeah. So there is one way you can know, and that's look at the budget. Yeah, and see where that money's going, okay? So, yeah, of course, obviously, that money's paying for staff and bills here at in this facility, but a good number of dollars are going into ministry. Fantastic, fantastic stuff. So I told you last Sunday that I was going to share in some questions, commonly asked questions about tithing, about budgeting, and so on. So I have five questions I anticipate that you would have. Let me just answer them. They're in your bulletin as well. Number one, do I give from my gross or my net? When I'm budgeting, do I give from my gross or my net? You decide. Some things to consider here. Gross means your earnings before deductions, before taxes. Net is your take-home pay, is what you're living on. Gross represents all of what God has provided, while net represents what you take home. Now remember that your giving to God is based on your cheerfulness, that is, from your want-to heart, not from your have-to heart. This is important. Whether you're giving off a gross or net, whatever you give, is it coming from a want-to heart, a cheerful heart? Cheerful giver, God talks about in 1 Corinthians. So the next question then is, how do I know if I'm giving from a cheerful heart? What does that look like? Well, the point of giving to God is to increase your faith in Him as your provider. Did you hear that? The point of giving is to increase your faith, your trust in God as your provider. Let's define the word trust. The word trust means, I have seen your character at work, and I'm willing to connect to it. Trust. I'm willing to connect to your character because I've seen it work. When we talk about giving to God now, what's His character like? I'm looking at His character. Over the years, what have I seen? Is He trustworthy? If yes, you'd be willing to connect to that by in finances, giving to Him. And sharing with Him, Lord, I trust You with this. Your character has proven true over and over. In Malachi 3:10, God challenges His people to test their trust in His ability to supply their needs. To increase your faith in God's ability to supply your needs, do this. Number one, set your percentage of giving to God high enough that it stretches your faith. All right? So it looks like this. If you are at 1% in your giving to God, and you say, God, I'm going to stretch my faith in You because You've proven Yourself supplier of me at 1%. So I'm going to up that to whatever You decide. But make it this. Make that percent figure, whatever you're adding, stretch your trust in God's ability to supply your needs. Okay, stretch your faith. So on one side of this decision, you're stretching your faith. God, this is a stretch for me. I'm going to say, okay, here I go. I hope You show up. All right? On the other side of this giving is, don't give so much that it becomes a regret for making the decision to give it. That's too far. Don't give to that place. Because that's not cheerful giving. It's not a want-to heart, is it? All right? So in between those two, stretching my faith, but not so much that I regret the giving. That's one way you can know if you're giving from a cheerful heart. Secondly, in the next 12 months, increase your giving percentage again at a level that stretches your trust in God as your provider, and watch how He supplies. Every year, what I'm saying is every year, increase your giving to God. Really? Yeah, really. Why? Why does God talk about money a lot in Scripture, Old Testament and New? The reason is because Matthew chapter 6, Jesus nailed it. He said, no one can serve two masters. He will either serve one and hate the other. Okay, you can't serve God and money. Why? Because we have an emotional attachment to money. It is my supplier of my needs. Right? Wrong. God is my supplier of my needs. God sends that. Ken, where are you? You gave an offering meditation here a while back that touched me and made me went, oh my gosh, that's right. We're up here standing. You had up some money. I don't know how much it was, but you put up this money and you said, this is not the gift. You said this, and I can't remember what you said, the second part of it, but it was, this isn't my sacrifice. This isn't my gift. My gift is here, me. Oh. Okay, that's fantastic. That's good teaching. The money isn't the gift. The gift is my want to God. Amen? Amen. All right. So give at that level for this year, if you haven't budgeted, if you haven't, if you don't have a consistent amount you're giving, that's okay. I'm not calling that bad or failure. But I do want to encourage you to take a step into your faith even more by learning to budget, by learning to give on a consistent basis. All right? And so do that every year. Increase your budget. Make your budget. Increase your giving by whatever amount. Sometimes for Caleb and I, it's 0.1%. All right? So we've been doing this now for 20, 25 years. Every year we increase our giving to God. And it started out at bigger numbers because we weren't reaching 10%. And then as we got to 10% and beyond, those numbers got smaller and smaller and smaller, but they're still stretching our faith in God. Today, Kayla and I are giving at 16.2%. And we still have everything we need. God is our supplier. Okay? I'm not saying 16.2% to brag or say that's what you should shoot for. No, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying if you practice it, this is what you can do. Stretch your faith into God being your supplier. And guess how that giving, this practice we've been doing, what do you think that's done for our faith in God? Yeah. Yes. And not only in the financial place of life, but in every other place of life too. Why? Because the financial place is our strongest emotional connection to that which supplies our need, money. But when I understand my supplier is God, not my income, then I say, wow, if you can supply me there, you can supply me here and here and here. Yeah? I love to watch farmers. Because planting a crop is a trust factor. Amen, farmers? You never know. There's so many variables you have zero control over. And yet, I've seen farmers who love God, who invest in their crop, get a return that's like, whoa. Isn't that cool? God is the supplier. He's the one who designed the seed to figure out which way is up while it's in the ground. Yeah. Okay, thirdly, do I neglect paying other bills in order to increase my giving to God? What do you think the answer is? No. Do not do that. Why? Because how you do your money, how you do your financing, is a witness of God. So if you're going to take away from paying a bill in order to increase your giving to God, now you're a witness to someone who says, you know, I promised you this, but I'm not going to give it after all. Don't go there. All right? Pay your bills off. If you're in debt now, okay, let's work at getting you out of debt so that then you can, with great honor and peace of mind, give to God. All right? Fourthly, does the amount I give other Christian missions or causes come out of my planned giving to God? The answer is no. That's my answer. If you give it 10% and you give 3% to this place and 2% to that place, 1% to that place, what's left for the church? The place where you really invest in God and His ministry? It's leftovers. So let's not do that. Let's give to God. You're giving to Him through the church. And if you want to give to other things after that, you bet. Give to those things. Kayla and I make a decision every year. What ministries are we going to give to above and beyond our offering to God? And, you know, that's a hard decision. There's so many good things out there to give to. But here's how it helps us. I'm more this way than Kayla is. Something comes along in the mail and I open it up. Oh, Kayla, they really need it. We already decided. Yeah, you're right. Okay. And it helps us to say no to everything else, even though it's good stuff and it may pull at our heartstrings, but we've already decided this year we're giving to this place. And that's just a good practice. And then fifthly, can I give electronically? The answer is yes, yes. In fact, on the back of your bulletin, there is information on how to give electronically through PushPay, it's called, and give through your smartphone. The cool thing about giving through PushPay is that you don't have to be here. How many of you in days past went to church, had the check in your pocket, and you forgot to give it? Yeah. And you waited till the next week, or you took it to the church later, whatever. But with PushPay, if you're on vacation, you're done while you're sitting on the beach, enjoying that you've given to the Lord. You're keeping your commitment and consistency going there. All right. Any questions? This has been kind of a fun series to see how we can and stretch our faith in God and see him as the supplier. When we read his words out of Malachi 3:10, do we believe him? One way to believe him is to stretch your faith in your giving to God. So let's respond to God. Number one, use a budget to take control of where your money goes. Number two, plan your giving to God and enjoy knowing that you are supplying him, you're giving to him and are pleasing him. And furthering his purpose on earth. That's all good stuff. Thirdly, gather often with Christians with an attitude of giving your best. I'm here today to give my best. I don't have the best physical feeling today because I was up last night, but I'm still here to do my best. Are you? Do you come to church to give your best? Okay, and not just here, but 24/7. Let's give our best to God. We're going to sing a song now. As we do, I just want to tell you, I believe in you. I love you. Athena Christian Church, I'm proud of you. You're doing some really good ministry. You're reaching people, not only just through the ministries of the church itself, but on your own individual circles of life. You're touching people. Hallelujah! Woo! Good stuff. All right. Let's stand together and sing. Praise our Lord Jesus Christ.